that God is writing your story. Amen? He is writing your story. And so instead of his story, we're looking at her story this month. For there are great women of the Bible that we don't really pay attention to, but during this month, we decided we'd look at that. And our foundational text is found in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And it says there, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." That word workmanship in the Greek, poema, which we get our English word poem. We are God's poem. He is writing our story. And if you were here last week, in the last 2 weeks, we discussed some things that you need to be aware of when God is writing your story. One of the things is you're not going to like every scene in the book. You're not going to like every scene. Some of the scenes in the book you just don't like. And then when you find a scene that you don't like, you're going to be tempted to do what? Take the pen out of God's hand and begin to write your own story. Amen? But then we realize that when we are tempted, we need to rely on, remember, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. So watch this. God writing your story. You come to a scene. I don't like this scene. Right? You're tempted. Let me take the pen out of God's hand, write my own story. But when you're tempted to do that, remember this verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things, everyone say all things. All things, all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. It's working for the good. That even that bad scene is working for the good. All right, don't take the pen out of God's hand, because if you do, you're going to mess it up. Huh? Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, let's write our own scene. We got trouble today because of that, amen? So today I want to look at another unnamed woman that we find in the book of Luke. Although she is unnamed, she does have a description. Now allow me to set the scene. There is a Pharisee who approaches Jesus and asks him to have a meal with him. Now the Pharisees were this super strict sect of the Jewish population. Have you ever been around a super strict Christian? I mean, like, super strict. Well, listen, you know about history. I grew up in a holiness church, and I thank God for the holiness church. But, man, sometimes you couldn't play no baseball, huh? Bowling, don't go to the movies, huh? Don't let me dare see y'all women's elbows showing. It may cause the men to sin. Super, super strict. And though this Pharisee was, you know what? You have a video for me? Show this video for me. Hit those lights. Show that video for me.
This Pharisee invited Jesus to have dinner with him, and Jesus went to his house and sat down to eat.
Come along, children. Off you go. You heard me. Go.
What is she doing here?
I don't know.
a sinful life she lives.
I know who this woman is, Simon. Let me tell you something.
There were two men who owed money to a moneylender. One owed him 500 silver coins, the other 50. Neither of them can pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of both. Which one then will love him more?
I suppose that it would be the one who was forgiven more.
You are right. You see this woman? I came into your home. You gave me no water for my feet. She has washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You did not welcome me with a kiss. But since I came, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You provided no olive oil for my head. But she has anointed my feet with perfume. I tell you then, the great love she has shown proves that her many sins are forgiven. But whoever is forgiven little shows only a little love.
Your sins are forgiven you. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.
Powerful video. Powerful. In Luke chapter 7, we come to learn about her. Let's go to verse 36 of Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, and we will start at verse 36. Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. As the custom was then, which is much different than now, they laid on the floor around the table and ate their meal. Now, in verse 37, the first phrase we have is this. Now, there was a woman in the city who was known as a sinner. No name. All we know is she's a sinner. This unnamed woman, known as a sinner. She learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. Point number one, and write this down, and we've heard it throughout this sermon series, it takes courage to come to Jesus. It takes courage to come to Jesus. And as you know, we said that courage is the ability to do something that frightens one. So in the end of most services, I'll stand up here, or the speaker will stand up here, and we will make this appeal. And we'll say, all those that want to be delivered, set free, or saved, will say, come down to the altar. Amen? And like, man, do I want to get up and walk down? And the building is not a long building, but it seems like it's a mile long. It takes courage to come to Jesus. Visually, you will always be in the minority, because there will always be more that don't come than those that do come to the Lord. See, you will always be in the minority when it comes to the standing for the things of God. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says this, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad and easy to travel is the path that leads the way to destruction and eternal loss. Listen, you can always get folks who will go with you to a party. Go with you to a dinner. Go with you to a luncheon. You ask them, come go with me to church. Oh, I don't know. Let me see. I got it. Amen? Listen. It takes courage to go. It takes courage to come to the Lord. It says, but small is the gate, And narrow and difficult to travel is the path that leads the way to everlasting life, and there are few who find it. You see, most people can exhibit boldness when they are supported by a crowd of people, but only a few can exhibit boldness and courage when they're by themselves. This unnamed woman, who was known because she was a sinner, demonstrated much courage by coming to the home of this very strict man. She knew who she was. Everyone in town knew who she was. She was a sinner. I could only imagine when she walked down the streets, people would shh, there goes such and such. There she is. Yeah, you know I told you about her, remember? I seen her Friday night. Yeah. She had to go through life, huh, with all that as she walked down the streets of Galilee, people whispering. I wonder what they're saying about you. What are they saying about you? She demonstrated courage. Anyone who will do great things for God must be willing to push past the comfort of the crowd and come to Jesus on their own. Let me read it, say that again. Anyone who would do great things for God must be willing to push past the comfort of the crowd and come to Jesus on their own. I realize it is difficult to be the first one or the only one that comes to Jesus. Serving God will always be inconvenient. I've always said this. I'll say it again. Serving God will always be inconvenient because it will require you to do things you don't want to do at certain times of the day. Amen? 6:30 is your time of prayer in the morning. 6:30 comes. Who feels like getting up? Well, Lord, you know. You know. It's inconvenient. Amen? It's inconvenient. But tell you what, if you're not willing to push past inconvenience, you'll never do anything great for God. You'll always stay with the crowd. You see, the crowd is doing nothing. The crowd is always talking. There are always more people in the stands than on the field. Amen? There are always more people in the stands than on the field. You watch NFL Network, NBA Network. Everybody's got an opinion. Well, they should have did this. You ain't even playing. You never played. High school, college, you ain't never played. How do you know? Shut up. Huh? And sometimes we try to speak words of wisdom to a person's life. We don't know what they're going through. And you got some nerve to give your opinion when they're not even asked for it. Amen? Keep your mouth shut. If you're looking for convenience, if you're looking for the easy way, you won't find it by living for God. If you're looking for convenience or the easy way, you won't find it by looking for God. This woman was willing to do something very inconvenient to get to Jesus. Now, there are others at that dinner, other righteous people who are self-righteous, many of them. There was Jesus himself and the 12 disciples. And she comes into this Pharisee's home. And you saw the video. Point number two is this. Everyone, say everyone. Everyone is qualified to come to Jesus. And it doesn't matter what your past has been. It doesn't matter. Verse 37, a woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. The Bible does not disclose to the reader what her sin was because it doesn't matter. Your sin, my sin, his sin, we all got sin. It doesn't matter how long you've been in sin. It doesn't matter what type of sin you've been in. As long as you are alive, you are qualified to come to Jesus. I don't care what you've done. You're a drunk. Who cares? Come to Jesus. Huh? You're a drug addict. Who cares? Come to Jesus, right? Listen, I'm a man. I'm living with a man. All right, come to Jesus. It doesn't matter. If you're alive, you're qualified to come to Jesus. Listen, don't let anyone mislead you to think that your sin is any worse than someone else's sin. We can become like the Pharisees because we have sins that we keep in the drawer. And late at night, we become like Pharisees, huh? And we, the church, religious people, we try to place certain sin at different levels. You still a sinner? Amen? Well, you know, Lord help me. Yeah. So, sometimes we think that, oh, this transgender, these homosexuals, oh, that's the worst. You a glutton. That's in the Bible too. Yeah. Amen? Amen? You said you were going to be there. You didn't show up and you didn't call to apologize. You a liar. That's in there too. Amen? Amen? Oh, but once we get those colors out, those different colors, look at them. Late at night. You see, we place sin on different levels, but God doesn't. You see, the type of sin doesn't matter. Christ has paid for all sin. I've said this on many occasions, that it is not your sin that will keep you out of the kingdom. It is your unwillingness to bring your sin to the foot of the cross, or in this case, to the feet of Jesus. It's not your sin that keeps you out of the kingdom. He's paid for all of the sin. It's your unwillingness to say, I'm a sinner, I need salvation. There are going to be many morally right people who will spend eternity separated from God. They didn't lie on their taxes. They went to work every day. They treated their neighbor right. And they listen to the whispers of the enemy saying, oh, you all right. You're a good person. It's not sin that keeps you out. He paid for the sin. Your unwillingness to accept his sacrifice and come to the cross, that keeps you out. Listen, we're going to be surprised for those of us that make it into the kingdom. When we get there and we see the folks we didn't think were coming. Man! Now, wait a minute now. I know you didn't. What? You made it? Oh, yeah, man, I made it. Huh? I'm fanning the smoke off my behind. I barely made it, but, man, I made it. Glory to God. Listen. I am begging you today, yes, I am beseeching you today to not let your past or present sin keep you from coming to Jesus. It doesn't matter what your sin is. It doesn't matter. Listen, God died for everyone. Huh? Everyone is qualified to come into his kingdom. It doesn't matter what your sin is. Don't allow us religious people to look down at you and say, because of this, you don't qualify. You qualify. If you're alive, you're qualified. Huh? If you're alive, you're qualified. And number three, if you come to Jesus, bring everything you have and everything you are, the good, the bad, and what else? The ugly. Bring it all. Luke 7:38 says this, as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Can you imagine the scene? He's laying there and she's just weeping. Huh? I'm sure some of y'all here today would look like, come for a dinner. We're believing for 50 souls, right, this year? But it's not limited by our Sunday mornings. Meaning this, I'm challenging you to share Jesus everywhere you go. This lady here, she didn't come to the synagogue to be saved. She was at someone's house. Amen? At dinner. Every event, everything that you do, be aware that could be an opportunity to point someone to Jesus. Amen? You could be at Applebee's. You could be at Olive Garden. Amen? And there's an opportunity for you to lead someone to Jesus. That person who serves your food may not know Jesus. And you come in there in your Sunday best on. I've said that before. Please leave a big tip. Amen? Don't be so critical. Find out what their name is. Call them by their name. Amen? Don't be saying, hey, you. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because God may use that opportunity for you to be a witness for him. Amen? So if you come to Jesus, bring everything that you have, everything that you are, the good, the bad, and the ugly. As she stood behind him, his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. She brought her good with her, which was the perfume, but she also brought herself, which was considered the bad. She came in this spirit of repentance. Every tear that dropped in the Lord's feet was her saying, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. While Jesus is reclining there, please notice what he did not do. He did not say to her, get away from me, sinful woman. He didn't say, don't touch me. This is what he did do. He allowed her to work through to her repentance. He allowed her to repent. He didn't say, get away. He allowed her to repent. Remember that God is writing our story. Yet there are times when we do not like the particular scene in our story, and we take the pen out of God's hand and begin to write our own story. We don't know why this woman decided to write her own story. We don't know her history, her family background. We don't know why she took up the type of life she was living. But we do know this, that on this particular day, her actions said this, I do not want to write my own story anymore. Here's my pen. You write the rest of my story. I'm tired of being the woman who they call the sinner. I'm tired of people looking at me sideways when I go to the marketplace. Remember the Samaritan woman? She came at what could be considered the wrong time of the day to get water. They don't come in the afternoon. But she came because she was tired of all the looks that the other ladies would give her when she came to get water. So she came at midday in the heat of the day because she was tired. And here this woman, she's tired of her sinful life. Listen, she understands, I'm a sinner. I know I've messed up. I wish all of us could be that way. We could admit, you know what? I'm wrong. When was the last time you had the courage to apologize and say you were wrong? Well, I kind of misspoke. You didn't misspoke. You lied. You know you were coming. You knew. When we said we'll meet, you knew right there, you ain't coming. We do that, don't we? We've sinned. But just, I'm tired of writing my own story. Because when we write our own story, it ends up bad. Yeah. Listen to this. Point number four. When you come to him, he will forgive you of your sin. Watch this. And does not remind you of your past. When you come to him, he will. There's no if, ands, or buts. When you come, he will forgive you of your sin. Listen to this. If you've come to Jesus, your sins have been forgiven. If you have come to Jesus, for those of you here today who have been born again, all right, your sins have been forgiven. Your sins have been forgiven. What's this? And he does not remind you of your past. Let me say this. Stay away from people who have the propensity to remind you of your past actions. Stay away from folks who always remind you of what you used to be. Or what you've done in the past. The statement is true. I did that in the past. I did. But stay away from folks who always remind you of what you've done. Let me say this. To every mom, dad, husband, and wife, stop reminding your loved ones about their past sinful acts. Stop reminding your loved ones about their past sinful acts. Don't tell that boy you're just like your old daddy. Stop doing that. Stop crushing that child. Amen? You don't need to hear that. Stop reminding them, because this is not of God. When you remind people of their sinful acts, you are acting like the devil. In fact, that is the devil using your tongue. Huh? When you remind people, because this is what God does. When he forgives you, he doesn't go back and remind you of your past. It's forgive. Stop it. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were really a prophet, he would know what type of woman this is. He ain't no prophet, for she is a sinner. Too often, we fail to look at people through the eyes of Jesus. Now listen to what the Lord had to say. I'm going to read verse 40. Read verse 40 through verse 50. It says this, Simon, I have something to tell you. He said, tell me, teacher. The two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? And Simon replied, I suppose this one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, had not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins, and they were many, okay, have been forgiven. Her great love has shown, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, and this is what she needed to hear, and this is what people need to hear today. Your sins are forgiven. See, the enemy would try to remind you and say, well, you're really not saved because you did this. I want you to know, your sins have been forgiven. If you've come to Jesus and repented of your sin, your sins have been forgiven. You are forgiven. The enemy would try to say, but you did this last week. Yeah, I know, but I'm forgiven. And watch this. When you understand the love that prompted the forgiveness, your whole attitude towards sin changes because you no longer want to sin. When you fall in love with someone, you really want to please them. Amen? And it hurts you to hurt them. And so when you really begin to love Jesus, I'm not talking about keeping the law. Loving Jesus goes beyond the law. Because when you love Jesus, you don't want to disappoint him. You don't want to break his heart. And so you do things that pleases him because you understand, I've been forgiven. I'm no longer the person I used to be. I may look like him. I'm a different person. This woman was a sinner. But he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And the other guests who were there began to say to themselves. You notice this, they talk to themselves. They didn't say anything to Jesus. Who is this who even forgives sin? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. You see, when you come to the Lord, he doesn't ask you, well, what took you so long? I've got a issue. Well, people, you know, they think they're going to do something, and then they're late or whatever, and they finally arrive. In my mind, I want to say, what took you so long? I'm not grateful they finally arrived. I don't know what they had to go through. Anybody like that besides me? I'm like, dang, man, what took you so long? I don't say, was the traffic bad? Did you have an accident? I don't care about that. What took you so long? Listen, when you come to Jesus, Jesus does not say, dang, what took you so long? I died 2,000 years ago. You've been to church all your life, and you got saved at 84? Come on, man. He doesn't say that. No. He just welcomes you in. Welcome home. Amen. I want this body of believers to be a group that welcomes people home. Amen. Not what took you so long. No. Welcome home. Your sins have been forgiven. And watch this. When you come to Jesus, he does not turn you away. Come to him with all your stuff. That your purse there? Don't talk about me. Bring it here. Wow, heavy. When you come to Jesus, bring all your stuff. Right? Bring all your stuff. Don't try and clean up first. Right? Just bring it. You own drugs, bring that too. Amen. You living with some, come on. Amen. You a glutton? Come on. You a liar? Come on. Just it doesn't matter what stuff you have, just come. Tell your neighbor, just come. Yeah, stop waiting. He's not going to turn you away. He's not going to say, oh, I don't know. We don't accept that type in here. Huh? Oh, no, we don't. No. We don't accept those here. Oh, no, this is a holy church. Huh? You can't be, ooh, no. Come. Amen? Stand to your feet, everyone. Glory to God. This unnamed woman had great courage to come to Jesus at this very strict home of this Pharisee. Yes, she was a sinner. She admitted that. But she wanted to turn her life around, and so she came. And really, she didn't express any words. She just began to cry at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus understood what she was saying through her tears, that I'm sorry. I repent of my sins. Will you accept me? And this is what Jesus said to her. He said, your sins are forgiven. I forgive you. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Every eye closed, every head bowed. There may be someone here today. I don't care what your sin is. It doesn't make a difference. Jesus says, just come. Just come. You're good, you're bad, and the ugly. Just come. Don't try and clean up first. Just come. And if you come, I will in no wise cast you out. I'll accept you and allow me to finish writing the story of your life. If you're here today, and you're tired of your present condition, how you've been living, hallelujah, and you're ready to make a change, and you've got sin, and that's okay, because he has paid for your sin. If you want to be new, you want to be different, you want to be saved, I'm going to ask you, it won't take long, come down to this altar and meet me, and we're going to pray this prayer of salvation. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you have an opportunity right now to come. It won't take long. Hallelujah. This is your opportunity. Don't leave here carrying the burden of sin. He will set you free today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If he's speaking to you, I know it would take great courage. I know. Hallelujah. I'll give you another minute if you want to make that decision to come to Jesus. Yes.
Only trust.
belong to him. Yeah, you belong to him. Father, Kelsey belongs to you. She is your child. That your son, the Lord Jesus, died for on the cross. And despite what the enemy has said, Kelsey, I want you to say these words. Say, I am saved. Say it again. Say it louder. One more time. You are saved. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I thank you that you've saved my sister. God, you have a story that you are still writing for Kelsey. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. Yes, yes, Lord. Yeah. Today, what you're doing, you're giving the pen back to the Lord. You're giving the pen back to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, saints. Glory in this house. Hallelujah. 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 Jackie. Hey. Yes. When you came before, yes, Lord, I noticed you as the speaker who was speaking that day was praying for you outside by the steps. And I saw the anointing of God on you then drawing you. So we've been conspiring against you in the spirit. We've been praying for you in the spirit. You didn't know. But even this past week, we said, Jackie's going to be one of those 50. Hallelujah. Jackie's going to give her life to the Lord Jesus. Jackie was a former worker of the preschool here. So close your eyes and say, Lord Jesus, I ask you, come into my life, be my Savior and my Lord. Let's say, devil. Say, devil, I turn my back on you and all of your ways. And I will live for Jesus and him alone. Because of this, I am saved. Say it again. I am saved. One more time. I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. Hallelujah. 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 The big sister is here with you today. How can we pray for you, big sister? What do you want from the Lord? You want to serve him? Hallelujah. 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 Your sins have been forgiven. At this very moment in time, you are in right standing with God because of your willingness to serve him and your heart of repentance. Hallelujah. And as that woman cried at the feet of Jesus, and every tear that she said she's repenting. And because of that, the Lord forgave her and said, your faith has saved you. So repeat these words. Say, I am saved. Say it again. I am saved. I want the folks in the back to hear it. Say it again. I am saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. All three of you will serve the Lord, hallelujah, with passion, with tenacity. Yes, 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 yes. There will be people in your circle, Kelsey, that will come to know Jesus because of the life they see in you. Yes, everything's going to change about you. What you say, how you say it, how you view things is changing. Because of today, and you are sealed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has given you Yorma, right? Yorma? Norma, Norma. God has given you talent and gifting that you're going to use in the kingdom. He gave it to you years ago. Yes. Yes, he gave it to you years ago. And you will use it for the expansion of his kingdom. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes. And Jackie, your colleagues never thought this day would happen. But here you are, a born-again believer in Jesus, sealed by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Never to lose your place in the kingdom of God. Never to you lose your place in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for these three. God, for these three represent thousands others who will come to know you as Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers them. Yes, and it keeps back the hand of the enemy. Hallelujah, from destroying them. Hallelujah. Great exploits will happen because of these three, because of today. These women. Hallelujah. And we give you thanks, we give you honor, and give you glory in Jesus' name. Ken, come up here, Ken. Come up here quickly and grab a mic. And Ken's going to pray us out today. And while he's coming, why don't we give God praise for today? Hallelujah. Give God glory for today. Give him honor for today. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, this is a day you always remember. You know, you'll never forget that, how much Jesus loves you, how much this church family loves you. And we're always here for you. Never forget that. And make sure that you reach out to all of us. You're going through problems. We will be here. We will answer the phone. We will raise our arms in Jesus' name. Bow your heads. Thank you, God, for allowing us to be together today as a church family and to watch over all of us. And for the ones that could not make it today, I know you'll be watching over them also. Thank you, God, for the words of wisdom you passed through with Pastor Phil and the beautiful voices of the praise team. Thank you, God, for allowing us to be together and to go closer to you. Thank you, God, for everything you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.